In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Thank you for joining us today here on the iSpy Radio Show as we help you get a little more intelligence on big government or the issues of the day. And one that has been festering for a long time now is the NFL and the players who are protesting police by taking a knee. Or at least I think that's what they claim that they're protesting. I'm sorry, but it's not heroic for millionaire players to take a knee during the national anthem. Think about that. They're using their freedom of speech to protest the country that gives them that freedom of speech. That's like saying, I'm against gun violence, so please watch me while I go off and shoot my neighbor in the face. The media on either side of this issue is not helping. The left media is more about pushing the politics of the issue and missing the fact that the majority of Americans don't care for anti-American messages. On the right, they're focused on the anti-American angle and often refusing to even look at the underlying causes. I don't often disagree with Rush Limbaugh, but he's pushing the conspiracy theory that this is all an attempt by the left to destroy an American institution, the NFL. What he's overlooking is the capacity of misguided people to take irrational actions, especially when in large numbers and when given a national stage. The left is merely using an opportunity to push their politics. It's what they do. I don't buy into the notion that people are trying to destroy the NFL. They're using the NFL, but I don't think they're out to destroy it. People normally act in their own best interest. What you're seeing is players who think they're acting in their own best interest, supporting a cause they say they believe in, but taking actions that are counterproductive to their cause. Sadly, assuming that players are out to destroy America and the NFL merely fans the flames of division. You assume they have hateful intentions, and you hate them for it. Isn't it better to try to understand the issues, and then to take actions that can solve issues, rather than dig in one's heels and keep the divisions going, like two ends of a tug of war? America will be better when we're all pulling in the same direction. I'd like to welcome now Burgess Owens. He's a former NFL player, first with the Jets and then with the Raiders. He is also the author of the recently released book, Liberalism, or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. And boy, you have been all over the place lately.
It's been fun. It's a very topical discussion, and I think very necessary. And I'm actually glad, Mark, that the president drew a line in the sand, because we have a conversation like this that we should have been having for the last 2 years, and we haven't. So this is a good thing.
It is.
For sure.
Well, we're just going to have to get you to remember to say when you go on Fox, that I'm Burgess Owens, as heard on the iSpy Radio Show.
Okay. All right.
We're going to start with kind of a broad discussion of the NFL and what's going on, and then we'll narrow our discussion and look at some of these underlying causes, I think. And, it has really been astonishing to me. And I've been an NFL fan for a long time. I mean, that was one of the great things about living in the little suburb that we did up near Buffalo is we went every year. My dad took us boys and sometimes some of the uncles. And my birthday is in October, and so that was always in the middle of NFL, and so we'd go up see the Bills and whatnot. And so I've considered the NFL to be a part of my life for a long time, and it's really sad and tragic in many ways to watch what has happened to the NFL and how these players, because they're trying to politicize things, have really destroyed my interest in the NFL. I really have no interest in watching them right now.
Yeah. Well, Mark, And that's why I'm so glad we have this time to talk about this, because as we kind of this has been unfolding, we've had a lot of very quick conversations on Fox, but this is a problem that is so much deeper than can be handled in 3 or 4 minutes. Just keep this in mind that if we remember that the foundation of our nation has been on Judeo-Christian values, which basically allows us to be free, to be different, to be diverse, but at the end of the day we have one thing in common: we're Americans. We learn to have conversations because we become educated. We learn to be tolerant. And in that way, every generation gets better and better at looking at each other from inside out, not outside in. There is an enemy that we're up against. And that enemy is Marxism, socialism, and atheism. And in the process of time, it's become normalized where people can now say they're socialists and not think anything about it. They can be proud of it, not understanding the evil ideology and what it does to people. So what we're looking at right now, the destruction of the NFL, has been a history of the Democratic Socialist Marxist Party. They took God out of the country back in the 40s. They took God out of the school system, then out of a public square. They took it out of the pledge. They then took the pledge out of the school. We go into these urban schools, the pledge is not done anymore. It's just they don't think it's necessary anymore. So do you wonder why, as they begin to take this bridge too far to try to take the flag off of out of the public square, why Americans are finally saying enough is enough, and why these same young men were making millions? And if they only understood the value of those first three words, we the people, they would look at themselves as a solution versus looking at the white person or the white owners or other people as being the solution to their problem. So
and I think that is an absolutely great point. America is about what you as an individual can do, and you're contributing to the whole, and you pursue your own path in life. You pursue. I mean, it is the land of opportunity and freedom, and I think that has been one of the things that has been so shocking to members of the NFL audience, including myself, is that they're taking a moment that ought to be uniting when we all salute our flag, when we all stand for the national anthem, that uniting moment, and instead they have turned it into a political nightmare. And you know, not to take away from people that have had, you know, injustices against them. Well, guess what? Everybody has that. I think we have to understand that this is a moment that we ought to be coming together rather than trying to pull us apart. And I think that's what a lot of people find so offensive.
Well, I look forward to discussing what's really going on in the black community, because if taken by itself, if you just kind of set it aside, you can really understand why these young men are so frustrated. If you understand the messaging, the strategy, the real misery and pain that's going on, you can see why they're frustrated. The disconnect is that the rest of us have been taught about our country, and we have a better view of truth. When you've been brainwashed and indoctrinated, you have a different view, and it's a real thing for them. So the good thing is we have a chance to talk about this, and I'm so glad. Two things. I'm glad that we have a president. We no longer have a socialist, Marxist, black president that would have allowed this to continue. We have a president who loves our country, and is drawing a line that says, you will not disrespect our flag and our country and our culture without taking a hit. And then we have Americans like you and I. So, you know, guys, we love the game, but guess what? If it comes down to our country and a game of watching guys catch and run a football, we'll take our country any day over that. So we're saying we can turn it off. And what they don't understand, because of the people that are running this company, they don't understand that once we turn it off, we can literally do something else and not turn it back on again. And we'll be okay. They don't understand that. And that's where the elitism of this the mentality of this ideology comes in, because they truly believe that they're all that. And we have to show them that they're not, that our country is all that, and our relationships together is all that, but not entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. Let's go ahead and take a break there. Coming back, we're going to be talking about some of these underlying causes a lot more with Burgess Owens. Stay with us. Landmark Pacific is known for their outstanding steel buildings and general contracting. But did you know that they're also a fantastic choice to maintain your existing building? When new construction isn't an option, maintaining your existing pre-engineered steel building is absolutely imperative. Incorrect materials can greatly reduce the life of your metal roof. For metal re-roofs, repairs, or additions and remodels, call the experts at Landmark Pacific, 503-743-3256. That's 503-743-3256. 3256. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Burgess Owens. He is a former NFL player. Happened to play on two of my least favorite teams when I was growing up. First with the Jets and then the Raiders. He was a great player there. Ended up winning the Super Bowl with the Jets. That was with the Raiders, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. He is also the author of the recently released book, Liberalism, or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. And so in that last segment there, we kind of alluded to some of this, that there are these underlying problems, and the messages that these players are getting coming up in the communities that they do, in the schools that they do, where they just don't understand what an incredible blessing that they have being here in the United States. And then for them to turn around and take a knee during our national anthem, well, that's just too much for a lot of people, and they are being turned off. In record numbers, I should say. I mean, the drop in percentage wise in terms of what they're going through this year, I mean, it's just astonishing. I mean, from week one to this last week, if I remember correctly, it was something like a 33% drop, which is just astonishing. Let's talk a little bit, though, about some of the issues that these guys go through coming up. And you mentioned how they just don't seem to understand how socialism, which is what a lot of these guys are espousing, really robs them of their opportunities. So what messages are they hearing coming up that they think disrespecting the national anthem is somehow a good idea?
Okay, well, what we have to understand is that the black community is under attack. We're seeing the results of that. I'm glad we have this conversation because the underbelly of the dark underbelly of Marxism is being shown. But these guys have been under attack for decades as we've gone about our lives, living our lives, living the American dream, having goals, not recognizing that behind the curtains, this is what's been going on. So what I'd like to point out very quickly in my book, I highlighted very, very strongly, because I grew up in a community back in the segregated 60s that was so different. We were successful. We led the country in terms of the growth of the black middle class. 50% of black Americans in the 50s and 60s were part of the black middle class. We led the country in terms of commitment of men to marriage. 70% of men committed to marriage versus what's happening today. We had a high percentage of entrepreneurs, 40% versus 3.8% today. So I'm making that point because we have to start with a baseline. We were, as a community, tied in, assimilating, and we're part of the American dream because we believed it, and we have those Judeo-Christian values that we all have. The left came in on this stealth, and this is what they do. Marxism is a very evil, evil ideology. Yes. It's based on a concept of lies. It starts off with Karl Marx that says the first battleground is the rewriting of history. So they know starting off, you have to lie, you have to be stealth, you have to connive to get in, and that's what they did. NAACP, the National Association of the Advancement of Colored People, was not started by colored people in 1910. Started by 21 white socialists, Marxists, atheists, humanists, race-controlled Democrats. And I list every single one of them in my book. They did put in front of them.
Let me pause right there. When you tell that to black audiences, are they surprised at all? What's their reaction?
I think what's happened, it takes a while for people for this to register. So, and you're going to find, as I go through the numbers of things I'm talking about what's happening with our race right now, it's so staggering that people really don't quite get it yet. And this is part of the normalization of a racist stereotype. Because right now I can talk about the misery in the black community, the high crime, the low education, and people accept it as just normal. They think this is a black experience because we're black people. But they don't understand the success of black people when we're allowed to live the American dream, and that this has been a stealth strategy from evil people, black and white, for a long time. So that's why we have to have these longer conversations like we have right now, Mark, because people don't quite get it, and sound bits don't get it. So if you understand that was the beginning of the we were being torn away from being at that point. And I could spend all day talking about success of black community. 50 millionaires within one community in 1918, outside of Tulsa, Alabama. Missouri. So anyway, Tulsa, Missouri. Anyway, wherever Tulsa is.
Oklahoma.
But anyway, Oklahoma. There we go. So what we have to understand is this, that we have a strategy, an evil strategy. So it's not all these players' fault. Remember what the Nazis did with the 8, 9, 10-year-olds. They indoctrinated those kids. So when they got on the battlefield, they did their thing. They believed in the hearts of hearts that they were superior, that everything else was inferior. Well, in the hearts of hearts of these black kids now, they've been indoctrinated for the last 15 years by a company called Black Entertainment Television, not owned by black people, as it was with NAACP, is owned by white, liberal, Marxist Democrats. Viacom, a company that owns a lot of other stations, but it was different about the messaging that they give to black people versus what they give to all the other companies they own. Is our message has been anti-white, anti-country, anti-flag, anti-American, anti-woman, everything that steals the manhood from young boys. They grow up disrespecting women, disrespecting authority, believing this country is against, angry as they can be, no matter how successful they are. This has been indoctrination for 15 years. And what I think personally, it is so un-American that we need to, I really do hope that we have an administration that looks into these people. Because what they have done has been on purpose. They have indoctrinated. It's a killing field for black Americans. Right. We now have 1,800 black babies killed every single day because of the abortion process. And they put 80% of their abortion in laboratories in my community. We have 83% of black teen males not working, and no one even thinks it's different. It's something wrong about that. How about this one? In the state of California, 75% of black boys do not reach the reading and writing standards.
Yes.
And no one says a thing that's anything. And instead, they focus on illegals. They're so committed to illegals that these 75% of black boys that will now grow up without hope, without ability to communicate, articulate, to learn, they can't do anything. You can't read and write. Hey, but this is happening today in 2017 in America, and no one thinks anything's wrong with it. So we have a very evil, evil ideology, and it's up to Americans. And this, Mark, is something we have to understand. This is not a Republican or Democrat. This is conservative Judeo-Christians versus an evil ideology that's our enemy. And for those Democrats out there, I was a Democrat one day back in the old days, too. This is not about your party, guys. This is not about a politician. It's about our country. It's about your kids. This is about people that you care about. If you really are good-hearted, like I think most people are, we need to stop voting for this evil ideology and party that has the boots on the neck of my race and has been using us for decades.
Boy,
so at the end of the day,
I just can say absolutely, absolutely. I'd like to talk to you about that, though, in the next segment. Stay with us. We'll have more with Burgess Owens. He's the author of the new book, Liberalism, or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. Stay with us. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. A fun and fascinating discussion with Burgess Owens. He's a former NFL player, first with the Jets and then the Raiders. You know, in the last segment there, I said that those were my two least favorite teams growing up, but that was simply because I was a Buffalo Bills fan. So it could have been worse, though. I guess you could have played for the Jets in Miami. I mean, that would have been – I mean, I couldn't even talk to you now. So thankfully we had that.
Well, I'll say one thing to make you feel real good, that the Buffalo Bills just beat the Jets also. So no,
that's
one, true. We didn't win against anybody. So those are the days that we can be very easily put into a particular column, for sure.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. So, well, you know, you were talking in that last segment there as we're going out about how socialism is such an evil concept. It's really founded on a horrible view of humanity. You have to essentially rob from the most successful people rather than seeing them as an example to be heralded. You know, that's the kind of person, you know, who is setting a great example for people. You know, you want to follow in their footsteps. This is how you become successful. And, of course, America is the reason that so many people want to come here is because of the opportunity that you just
exactly.
do not have in other countries. I mean, even our mother country, England, you don't have the same types of opportunities with the same types of freedoms that you have here. I mean, they have already started to cut back on free speech even.
Yeah.
But America being founded the way that it is, it's no wonder that it's constantly under attack from an evil political mindset such as socialism and communism.
And what we have to understand as we go through life, you know, we go through and we want to raise our kids and have a good job and, you know, have a nice vacation. We want to make an impact. But we have to understand there's a much bigger picture. And it is, this is a country set aside for all the generations of time for by God. He set it aside. He brought certain people here at the right time who had the right skill set, the right mentality, the right beliefs that we can build upon the Magna Carta, not only the Magna Carta, but the Mayflower Compact to the Constitution, which begins with three so important words, we the people. No other nation in history of mankind has put such an emphasis on us being the answer to our solutions, we the people. So you look at that, this country has been set aside for a purpose, and it's God's purpose. So the other side of it is evil. You have to understand there is true evil out there, and
yes.
of course we get a glimpse of it every now and then, but there are people who live with it all the time. There are people who actually adhere to it. So we have people that will look at a race, and I'm going to describe what evil really looks like. Evil is when you take away a person's dreams, hopes, and future. Pure evil if you target a race of millions and you do it for generations. We have, but it's pure evil in this country. We have a party of socialist segregation, secession, and slavery that from the beginning has done nothing but try to demean and separate and hurt and harm people. So we have to understand that's what the deal is. So no, it sounds nice, socialism, but it's actually anti-God.
Yes.
Communism, Marxism, atheism, all anti-God. And guys, listen, if you're Christian or you're anyway close to believing in and I have a God in heaven, I don't care how we worship him, if you stand against him, you cannot be anything but evil. So that's what we see happening in our country today. And that's what these kids, and my heart goes out to them. They've been denied fathers because of democratic policies. They're denied the idea of having a flag to put their heart and pledge to because of democratic policies. They have mothers who most of the time aren't even around because the grandmother's taking care of them. The black community is such a mess because of decades of democratic rule that we have to realize these kids are going to come out of it with a certain attitude. What we can do is recognize what the problem is. It's not them. It's what they've been trained and taught. Recognize that that's what they're trying to do for the rest of the country, and let's fight against it. So what we do is go in and we serve. The big difference, what big deal about this country and the people of this country, the reason why we've always gotten better every single generation is we serve better than any other nation in the history of mankind. We don't take, we serve, we give. So if we do that to the black community, I truly believe that this is the point in which we were brought here in the first place. Heavenly Father brought my race here, not voluntarily, but involuntarily. I think for the day that, first of all, we can be free from slavery, and we appreciated slavery being free more than any other race in this country, and we proved it the first 50 years plus in terms of what we did with that freedom. Now where we're at, the Democrats depend on 93% of us. That's how much they are addicted to the black vote. And so if we were to pull away the 15-20% of us who truly still have values for our country, then they no longer have that power. And as we pull the black community from the abyss of socialism, we pull back our country. So this is God's way of truly allowing my race, I believe, to be an integral part of pulling our country back and make sure we stay free.
You know, you mentioned slavery. Do you think that there is within the black community that still has that slavery mindset where they see whites as the overlord and that somehow they are depriving them of their freedom? When, as you mentioned, the first 50 years, though, after slavery, blacks had an exploding community where they were able to pursue the American dream. You mentioned that in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they had 50 millionaires within the black community. But is there that slavery mindset that they just can't shake? And also, why can't they?
Of course there is. And that's just on purpose. No, you're right. If black Americans knew their history, then we'd have a whole different conversation. But here's what it comes down to. What the Democrats did, that the success that I felt was that exploding, prevalent middle class, of where 50% of black Americans were part of that in the 50s and 60s. What the Democratic policy did, very simply, is squeeze our community in the middle. So that black middle class, many went to becoming elitist, very wealthy, and others were not able to enter the middle class anymore. They became dependents. And that is actually the petri dish of socialism. You get elitists who care less about those that they're serving because they think they're all that. There's a total disconnect. They're empathy-free. You have blacks and white leaders who look for themselves, and that's really it. Then you have dependents who look at these folks as gods. So that's the problem we're having now. The middle class, which is the part of our society that understands what it is to work hard, to dream big. They want to succeed, so they bring others with them. They have a strong empathy. They know what it is to serve. There's connection with those who are not there yet, and they want to make sure that they come aboard. That's the middle class that's made our country great. And when you pull them out, then you get what we have now, elitism. We have John Lewis and Elijah Cummings and the Black Caucus, who are nothing but sorry, sorry black politicians, self-centered, narcissistic, and have betrayed our race as they played to the tune of these other guys and allowed our race to go in the direction it is.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think a lot of the NFL players are in that same boat where they've made it to the top and now they're just looking down on everybody else. All right, everyone stay with us. We're going to have more with Burgess Owens after this.
Yeah.
And welcome back. Continuing our discussion with Burgess Owens, a former NFL player, played for the Jets and then the Raiders. And he has a new book out there that is, of course, up on iSpyRadio.com. Just head to the shop page there, or the store page, I should say, and you can find it there. It's Liberalism or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. And I'd like to kind of focus in a little bit on some of the topics there that you talk about in your book, because I know that you talk about the disadvantages that a lot of the blacks have gone through, especially in their education. We were talking earlier about how they are miseducated on so much of the history, but there are a lot of stats that come out from the black community that are very troubling. Average black male achievement falls far below that of white and Asian boys. Only 12% of black fourth grade boys are proficient in reading, compared to 38% of white boys. Only 12% of black eighth grade boys are proficient in math, compared to 44% of white boys. By fourth grade, black students may be 3 full years behind their peers. This is stunning. I mean, well, first of all, I mean, regardless of race, I mean, if you have less than 50% of proficiency in a given topic, I mean, that given subject, that's horrifying. That's a real condemnation of our education system. But for blacks to be that far below, what do you attribute that to?
There's a couple things, Mark, and you're right. We'll talk about education in a second. But you know what the left does to begin this process? How about destroying the family?
Yes.
Let's start off by having it where you have a group of Americans that were actually leading our country. 70% of men committed to marriage. If you look back on the Martin Luther King days, you see them with their kids on their knees, and you see them doing things. I experienced it. I know what it is to have a mom and a dad who sit down and plan together. My dad disciplines. My dad teaches me how to respect women. All those things that I saw and understood and grew up with. So what you do first as a leftist, as an evil ideologist, ideology of socialism, Marxism, how about destroying the family unit? Mm-hmm. Put together a policy in which you have young ladies and girls being paid to produce as many babies as they can, as long as they don't have a man around the house, and as long as they'll get a check, as long as they don't go out and work. So you're teaching not only that mother to depend on government, but you're also teaching that young man what it is not to be responsible, to come in hit at night and go out day and hang out and come back and use your female's income. That's what was happening in the 60s. And so you destroy the family unit. Right now, 70% of black men abandon their children. 70%. So you have all these kids growing up. You're not going to have any with that. It's going to be tougher to have young people, particularly young men, to go up and go to school, discipline themselves, come home and do their homework. The things I was taught to do that was driven and demanded by my dad was not happening now. So you're going to have right now, and I mentioned before, 75% of black boys in California that are not meeting reading standards. Well, guess what happens when they now grow up? They now do the same thing their dads were taught or their absentee dads were taught. So you have another generation that's angry, educated.
So how do you break that cycle, though? I mean, if they haven't learned how to be a man, haven't learned how to stay with their family, haven't had a father, you know, it's hard to be a father if you haven't learned that yourself. So how do you break that cycle?
A couple of things. We first of all go up against these Democrats when they put together this anti-school choice legislation. The first thing that Obama did when he came in, the very first executive order, was to stop the 2,000 black kids coming successful school choice in D.C., yes. 93% success rate. So we need to get the education done right. The second thing, we have Americans have a great heart. I'm working with an organization called One Heart Project, which actually works with these kids coming out of the juvenile system, mentoring them, helping them to understand how to begin business. Jim Brown has something that's called American. There's so many good programs. Now, we need to stay away from organizations like NAACP and Black Lives Matter. But there are good programs out there really touching the hearts of these kids. And that's where America does its best. It's not going to be overnight because it didn't happen overnight. But as long as we're aware of it, as long as we put our money, our time, roll up our sleeves and go in there and serve, then our kids will learn that there are people they can begin to like and trust that are different colors than they are. Because right now they're not seeing enough of these folks. And black conservatives like myself have to be vocal enough and strong enough to get in and get this message out and be patient enough to recognize it's going to take a little while to get them to understand. But once they do, they can be the strongest advocates for a free enterprise and free market in America because they will realize who the enemy was. And it's these black and white Marxist socialist, bad people.
Yeah.
Bad people. And
Yeah, well, in terms of raising standards within the black community, does it work against the black community to focus so much on sports as a way out to, in other words, to combat poverty?
Well, sports is a great revenue if you have people around it that are teaching the lessons of sports. When you have guys that are actually becoming great athletes, but they never learn how to be men. They never learn how to be disciplined and doing their homework and respecting women. So it's a great part of the equation, because you gain confidence in that process. And men and boys need to have an outlet. They need to have a way to compete. They need it. So that's a good thing. But we have to have a coaching and mentoring around that, particularly when mothers are doing it all on their own. Men coming in our community and serving. More men need to serve others. And this is where we're lacking, because we have this elitist group of professional athletes that they do in their off season. If they complain today, they're gonna go sign autographs and start a football camp. They're gonna have a great old time, but they don't want to spend 1 second mentoring anybody or telling these kids they can make it happen or being the father of their own kids. So the things that they need to do, they're not been trained to do. And that's where we have to have those who understand it to come and give that message in a way that they can really buy in and build from within.
Yeah, and you can't just swing in and treat it as a PR stunt. Okay, let's take a break there. Everyone, stay with us and lots more with Burgess Owen. I'm going to be talking about some of the solutions after this.
This is Carla Davenport, the producer of I Spy Radio. As you know, fighting abortion and standing up for the unborn is very important to us here on I Spy. Recently, Oregon became the most abortion-friendly state in the nation. While we can't stop all the new laws, did you know that we can stop the state from using taxpayer dollars to pay for free abortions? We urge you to visit stopthefunding.com to sign the petition. That's stopthefunding.com.
This segment of iSpy is sponsored by Landmark Pacific. If you're looking to build a metal building or need some repairs done on yours, give my friend Dave Allmendinger a call at Landmark Pacific. You can visit them at landmarkpacific.com. Continue our discussion now with Burgess Owens, a former NFL player and the author of Liberalism, or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. We're talking about the NFL here today with you, you being a former NFL player. You were talking about in that last segment there, as we were heading out, the need for some of these players to be mentoring. And those are the kinds of things that could be solutions. But instead, what we're seeing is these millionaire players somehow thinking that it's heroic to take a knee during our national anthem. They're doing the opposite of what they ought to be doing. And these guys have money now. I mean, they've got a ton of money. And as you also mentioned, there's a lot of these guys that themselves are not fathers to the kids that they have. And so let's talk about some of the things that these players ought to be doing. And one of the things I feel compelled to mention is that the NFL Players Association, they themselves have tons of money. You want to take a guess how much they had in terms of their net assets at the end of last year?
You tell me.
$311 million that NFL Players Association is sitting on. Why are they not out there developing? I mean, this is supposedly a nonprofit. Why are they not out there promoting fatherhood, promoting the kind of mentoring that you're talking about, preventing these kinds of after-school sports programs where even if they don't have a dad, they can at least get the influence of a male figure in their life through the coaching and everything else. Where is the NFL players in all of this?
Well, and I can speak from a perspective. I was a player rep when I was with the Jets and with the Raiders, so I understand the mentality of these guys. It's a union mentality. They are the part of the problem. They're elitists. They're the guys who do well, they make millions of dollars, many of them make, even as employees, they make millions of dollars, but their interest goes as far as their front door. As long as they're doing okay, they're okay. Mm. So they're part of the problem, and they're going to talk social justice as if they know what social justice is. And social justice basically is an opportunity for the Marxists to go in and shake people down. And I'm waiting now to see what's going to happen with NFL. If they're going to come up with a solution that they need to be providing funds to NAACP or Black Lives Matter. I'm going to wait to see if that's what the case is. And all it is, if it is, it's what they always do. They look at the misery of our race and then figure out a way to profit from it. So they're not going to be the answer. They're not going to be the solution. The solution of those who are listening to this call is we the people. is those of us who truly have a desire to want to make a change. We are very busy. We have our things we're getting done, but we also understand we need to give back. And that giving back is going to come down to figuring out a way to get into the real community efforts, not these socialized Marxist fronts that just continue to want to tear down our country. Mm-hmm. If there's any organization that it goes along with sitting kneeling on the knee within the Black community, ask that question first. If they agree with that, then don't donate to them. Don't spend time with them. We want people to have the courage to stand up against, I don't care who it is, the Black elitist, whoever it might be, the courage to stand up and say, no, I love this country. It's the best thing since sliced bread. I'm going to teach my kids that. If you don't like it, go do something else. But we need to find people like that in the community willing to stand against the groupthink. And if we do that, then we'll win this thing. But it is they are part of the problem. NFL is part of the problem. And they're becoming a political tool for the left. And that's why we're having such a hopelessness still left in this community.
You know, in terms of promoting family, you don't really see the NFL as an organization doing that. And I had mentioned earlier in the show that the NFL was a part of my growing up. My dad would take us boys. There were four of us, and he'd take us boys off to see the games. Sometimes the uncles would come along if they were up for birthday celebrations or whatnot. But more and more doing that, the NFL as being part of a family event, that's harder and harder for people to do. I mean, it is getting so expensive just to attend these games. I mean, they're pricing it out of reach. Maybe the NFL, since it's making so much money and these players, maybe they need to make more of these community or open it up more to the community, lower some of the prices, or maybe make special event days where disadvantaged families can come in.
Well, here's where we need to start the conversation. It's not up to the NFL to take care of the Black problem. Mm. It's up to Black people to take care of the Black problem.
That's right.
So the conversation that be had right now is among Black people who really care, and to point out those who have been betraying our country and then finding a way to ostracize them. And once we do that and we start to get pride again, because it comes down to an environment in which people like I grew up in, we have high expectations. We teach our young men and women that the last thing you want to do is ever demean our name or our race. So we learn to turn things off like BET. We recognize the insidious stereotypings, and instead of just letting it happen, we point out those people not only that put up with it, but those who actually generate it. We let people know that the Jay-Z and the Beyonce, these are the people that put this mess, this rapping gangster mess, into my community and have become very wealthy from it. And then I looked at heroes. So it's a total change in terms of who the hero should be and the stereotyping. When I was growing up, very simply, it was the people like the Ben Carsons and the Condi Rice and the Clarence Thomas, those who were giving to our community. Today, the heroes are Young Thug, Colin Kaepernick, guys who have done nothing but throwing a football, can't even articulate his what he wants to do. He tweets, but he cannot articulate what he feels because he doesn't have the courage to come out and do that. Young Thug has tattoos everywhere, kids everywhere, can't speak if he's not rapping. That's the image that Martin Luther King fought against in the 60s that's prevalent now in 2017 because of the racist Marxist people that have let it happen, and the Blacks that stood aside and allowed it to attack our race the way it has.
Well, isn't that interesting that he has become everything that Martin Luther King was fighting against?
Exactly. Yep. Huh. the other side is very patient. God has a plan for this country. Well, the other side has a long term plan. So it's taken since it's been taking generations, but he's gotten us to where we were fighting and winning in the '60s.
Yes.
We now have to turn this corner again and fight back. And I believe our race is capable of it as long as we have enough voices and enough people rolling up the sleeves and going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, Kaepernick is suing the NFL owners. I think he's suing the wrong people. Instead of suing the owners, he ought to be suing the NFL players for all of them being more talented than he is.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break there. We'll wrap things up with Burgess Owens after this. Landmark Pacific is known for their outstanding steel buildings and general contracting. But did you know that they're also a fantastic choice to maintain your existing building? When new construction isn't an option, maintaining your existing pre-engineered steel building is absolutely imperative. incorrect materials can greatly reduce the life of your metal roof. For metal re-roofs, repairs, or additions and remodels, call the experts at Landmark Pacific, 503-743-3256. That's 503-743-3256. And welcome back, wrapping things up with Burgess Owens, former NFL star. He's also the author of Liberalism, or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. And you can find that on the iSpy Radio store. Just head to iSpyRadio.com and look for the store page at the top. So in the time that we have left here, it's kind of interesting. We were talking during the break there how Colin Kaepernick, who has really been the focus of this, is himself a real example of what's gone wrong with the black community. He was somebody whose dad abandoned the family. The mom could not keep up. He ended up being put up for adoption. And so he grew up without either his biological mom or father. And now here he is just kind of exemplifying everything that's gone wrong. What are some things that these players ought to be doing?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, the thing that they can do best is now that we're getting into this and we're going to identify some issues, get back to the community this offseason and go to work. That's actually the best we can do with those that are out there now. Get to work, have them served side by side by other Americans of all colors and races and backgrounds so they can realize that they're not only on their own, and they can get different perspectives as they do so. But we also need to realize that what the left has done very effectively is they've indoctrinated our kids at very young ages. So we need to stand against those who want to keep our kids segregated in these failing schools. Those who stand against choice of school understand that is insidious. That's saying that we want to keep these kids failing and dumb so we can keep control. So those who vote for those, let's vote against them. Let's get some of these people out of office that have been standing against our race. Minimum wage. Minimum wage has to stay low because if it stays high, it benefits the union, but it hurts those trying to get in and start to work. 80% of black young men not working is a result of a high minimum wage. So let's do that, and let's encourage free enterprise, and just have this conversation where you're not apologizing, first of all, but pointing out the fact that this is an effort, purposeful effort by by the left, by Democrats. And if we vote against them, then we can start the process of healing our country.
Absolutely. And on that minimum wage, by raising that, what it really does is it removes incentive for people to get better and to improve themselves. I got about a couple minutes here with you. You mentioned removing the indoctrination and fighting against that. And one of the things you mentioned previously was about BET, Black Entertainment Television. What do we do about that? How do you counter some of that indoctrination? Is it time for a more conservative Black Entertainment Television type of show?
Well, here's the thing. There were conservative radio shows, television shows, but Viacom made sure they were put out of business, along with the Democratic Congress that was trying to. And I talk about this in my book. They were black entrepreneurs trying to make an inroads, but they couldn't because of this what's going on right now. So the best thing we can do, I'm hoping Congress has a conversation about this. I'm hoping Americans reach out and start making a point that we cannot have this type of indoctrination. Stand against these people. Let's stop buying stock in the Viacom if that's what it takes. Just what we're doing with the NFL. We need to stand up as a country and fight against those who are trying to hurt our nation and pull them from behind their corporate boardrooms and then make them stand accountable to us.
Well, we've got about a minute here with you, too. One of the things that I think is interesting to look at, or look ahead at anyway, is the same types of attacks that the black community went through. Now the Hispanic community is certainly ripe for this. We're going to have the left moving. Okay. You're already seeing a lot of elements of that where they're moving in and attacking them.
That's the way it works. We were the prototype. So understand they're coming after the rest of this country. So look at our lesson. Don't let us go there. And programs like the one I just mentioned, One Heart Project, look that up online. One Heart Project out of Dallas, Texas. They are making a big difference with kids one at a time. And we're doing this now spreading across the country. Those are the kind of events you can help out with. But at the same time, we need to roll up our sleeves, figure out a way to get in there and help these kids so they can see, feel the difference of people who care. If we do that, we win our country back.
Great. Burgess Owens, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Mark, my pleasure, buddy. Let's keep this up. It's all about team. We get it done. Let's show it together.
Absolutely. I love it. A few websites for you before we go. That website Burgess mentioned just a moment ago, One Heart Project, can be found at oneheart.com. oneheart.com. Also, you can stop Oregon from using your tax dollars to pay for free abortions. Head to stopthefunding.com, stopthefunding.com, and sign the petition. And as always, head to iSpyRadio.com for links to all of that. And be sure to share all of those, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.